she's taken.
Text me when you get her there.
He glanced at his watch.
I was hoping to hear from Lee by now.
Let Lee do his cop thing. I'll do my counselor thing, and you do your lawyer thing. Add on host thing for a really big party. She pulled his wrist over to check the time herself. I'll be back to pitch in there in a couple hours, and Silas, too, when he's wrapped up the cop business. Emily will be over, too, with Audra. We'll get it all done.
I'm thinking of it as Tracy's Independence Day.
It's a good thought. But Zane knew his sister.
You're worried she won't stick.
She's got plenty of support, but she's also got a hard road ahead. We'll be hopeful. He led with that hope as he helped Tracy into Britt's car, reminded her to call him any time if she needed him. After thanking Charlene, assuring Allie he'd stay on top of things, he stood a moment on his hill. Quiet now, peaceful now, the lake below shining in the sunlight. A perfect summer day, he thought, echoing Darby's earlier assessment. The kind of day for taking a sail, eating potato salad, drinking a beer in the shade. The kind of day where it seemed nothing hard or mean existed. But it did. Always would. Life meant you navigated the hard and mean, rose over it, pushed it back. So he would. After using the warrant to enter Tracy's house, having a conversation with Clint's hard-eyed mother at her place, his brother's slovenly, the word popped into his head, wife at hers, Lee deduced they'd already figured out something was up. In Jed Draper's place, three kids, two in diapers that needed changing, and a third with a nasty look in his eye and scabby knees, fought, wailed, whined until Lee's head throbbed. But Sally Draper never deviated from her story, one that matched her mother-in-law's almost word for word. She didn't know where the men had gone, certainly not hunting, fishing more like, camping out for a day or two. And if that ungrateful Tracy said her brother laid a single hand on her, she was a liar on top of being a lazy slut. B. Draper, the matriarch, had run the same line and added a few flourishes. How Tracy had a terrible temper, threw things at her hard-working boy, was clumsy as a two-legged mule, always tripping over things, mostly as she didn't put shit all away. Lee took note of the field glasses in both houses, set on the sill of the window facing Tracy's backyard. He considered it all as he made his way back to the house where Tracy had lived, and what he'd found, or hadn't found, inside. She'd run off at dawn with only the clothes on her back and Zane's card in her pocket. Yet inside, he'd found only two handmade dresses, both cotton and as shapeless as what she'd had on. No jewelry, no makeup, not even a tube of lipstick. Two cotton nightgowns his grandmother wouldn't have worn, and not a single pair of shoes. He'd grown up with a mother, a sister, had a wife, had lived with a girl he'd considered his own from her teenage years, so he knew something about what he thought of as female debris. Nothing, just nothing normal inside that house. And he hated he'd had no power or authority to do anything about it. Until now. He walked to the McConnells, found them both outside working their garden. With a hand pressed to his back, Sam straightened, nodded.
Chief, got some fine-looking tomatoes going there, Sam. We do that and plenty of them. We can give you some to take home.
Lee scratched his chin.
Believe it or not, we got talked into planting some of our own this year. Just a couple bushes, but they're doing okay. Sure would appreciate having a few words with y'all.
Figured you'd be by.
Mary Lou adjusted her glasses.
I made some lemonade fresh this morning. You come on, sit down in the shade.
That'd be right nice. Kids are coming later on for a cookout before we all head to the lake to see the show,
Sam said as they walked.
Should be a good one.
While Mary Lou went in to get the lemonade, Lee sat with Sam on the porch, letting out a sigh as he got off his feet.
I want to ask you if you heard or saw anything from over Clint Draper's place last night.
Can't say we did. We had the AC on, windows closed.
Sam let out a sigh of his own.
He hurt that little girl again, didn't he?
I can tell you she lit out early this morning, pretty beaten up. Don't suppose you saw her go or saw where Clint went.
Wish I had. Never seen her drive, so I'm guessing she took off on foot. We'd have helped her if we'd seen her.
I know you would.
As Mary Lou came out with a tray of glasses, Lee smiled.
That sure looks good, Mary Lou.
She got away, honey, Sam told her. She left him this morning.
Mary Lou set the tray down with a rattle.
Thank the Lord. We worried when we saw you and the officers that he'd killed her this time. But she's all right?
She will be. My information is Clint went off with his daddy, his brother, early this morning. Hunting's what I heard. Fishing's what Mrs. Draper the Elder claims.
Hunting's more like, and we heard some shooting when we came outside.
After handing out the glasses, Mary Lou took a seat.
The Drapers don't trouble themselves with hunting seasons, no trespassing signs, or anything else. They do what they want and when they want.
You wouldn't happen to know where they favor going.
Now Sam shook his head.
I know they put up deer stands right on the property line, a few of them. And I'll tell you the God's truth, Chief, I wouldn't go looking for them up in the woods, not when they've got guns and cover. You were to step foot on their land, they'd unload on you and call it just.
B. Draper would have told them you've been around. They got walkies,
Mary Lou added.
It was around 9, I guess. And after we heard the shooting, I saw her walk over next door, go right on in like she owned it. She didn't walk out happy. I guess she saw Tracy wasn't there.
She'd have been right on the horn letting the men know that,
Sam continued.
And then y'all showed up. She'd have let them know to keep low at least until you'd cleared out.
Well,
Lee drank some lemonade.
They're not going to stay up there in the woods. We'll do that clearing out, but we'll keep an eye on the place. I'd appreciate it if you'd do the same. Give me a call if you see any of them come back.
Happy to.
Mary Lou patted her husband's hand.
But we'd be grateful if you kept our names out of it. They're vengeful people, Chief.
There's no problem with that. You just call me direct, you hear?
You watch yourself, Sam added. They won't take kindly if you lock up one of their blood.
That's just what I aim to do.
Lee assigned a rotation of officers, in pairs, to watch the Draper land. He'd take his own rotation next shift, but decided he needed to get back, let his family know the status. He found tables already covered with their colorful cloths, lights being strung, his sons hauling out more. And the little girl who called him Pap playing with the world's ugliest dog. Audra wobbled to her feet, toddled over to him on those sweet, chubby legs, babbling and grinning with her arms already held out to him. He scooped her up, gave her a toss to make her squeal. Ugly Dog raced off to leap on Molly, start a mock fight, while their own Rufus just snoozed in the shade. He smelled more lemonade and growing things, heard his wife's delicious laugh bounding through the open kitchen doors. Normal, he thought. It was good, even for a little while, to come back to normal. Audra wiggled down, toddled over to Darby, who, more squeals, hauled the baby onto her shoulders before she continued with the lights. He went in, saw Emily checking potatoes on the boil for salad, and Zane struggling his way through peeling dozens of hard-boiled eggs.
They ought to make a tool that does this, he complained.
They do. It's called your hands.
Emily turned, and Lee saw the flicker of relief in her eyes as they met his.
And here's two more hands, she said brightly. Where are Silas's?
I've got him and Ginny keeping an eye out for now. I'll switch with them in a bit.
All right, you have a seat there with Zane. Want an iced coffee?
Babe, I'd have married you for your iced coffee alone. Anybody hear from Britt?
She's at the shelter with Tracy and her mama, Zane told him.
She'll head back here soon. I take it the Drapers weren't home. That's right, but they'll come around. The women have walkies, so they'll know we're waiting for them.
He went to the sink. He'd been schooled more than once. Washed his hands before he sat and picked up an egg.
The women were ready for us. had their stories together. Mary Lou McConnell said B. Draper went over to Clint's place about 9 this morning. She'd have seen Tracy wasn't there, so they were ready for us with a couple loads of bullshit.
He peeled an egg. He'd been schooled there, too. Reached for another.
I tell you something right now. That girl's lived a hard life over there. Both those women keep binoculars at the window that looks out at Tracy's backyard. She wasn't lying when she said they watched her. And those kids, Jed Draper's kids, filthy house. And two of them wearing nothing but dirty diapers, with the older one looking like he'd smother them in their sleep if he could get away with it.
Oh, Lee.
There's a look, Em. He's young for it, but there's a look in the eyes, and he has it. And I come back here, he went on while he peeled a third egg. I see our boys working together, and that sweet little girl comes running to me, smelling like fresh-cut grass and shampoo, wearing that pretty little whatever it is.
Romper, Emily added, setting down his coffee, standing behind him to rub his knotted shoulders.
Well, she's romping in it, and now she's bouncing on Darby's shoulders out there, happy as 10 puppies in a pile. It made me think those kids, no fault of theirs, but those kids, whoever's doing my job in 15, 20 years, they're going to lock those kids up. That's the odds they got.
Some beat the odds, Zane said.
Yeah, that's true. Best to remember some do.
Leaning over, Emily kissed his cheek. You go on out there. Play with your granddaughter. Zane and I can finish these.
No, I'm fine here. Peeling eggs, it's mindless. I could use some of that.
He reached back to pat Emily's hand, looked over at Zane.
You're a good man, Zane. I want to say that to you in case I haven't recently. You suck at peeling eggs, no question about it, but you're a good man. Now, if I were you, I'd leave these to me, and I'd go out there to that long-legged woman, help her string lights, and give another shot at smooth-talking her into moving in here with you.
Don't have to. She'll be moving in tomorrow.
Emily squealed, not unlike Audra, then wrapped her hands around Zane's throat as if to choke him.
I've been here more than an hour, and you're just telling me?
I've been concentrating pretty fiercely on peeling these eggs.
You.
Now she lightly swatted the side of his head.
Get out. Get those lights up, then you make sure your cousins have the rest of the tables set where they're supposed to be.
Yes, ma'am.
He escaped.
Damn it, my potatoes,
she remembered, and dashed to take the pot off the stove.
It's been a hard morning,
Lee began. Steady, Emily poured the boiled potatoes and water into the colander in the sink.
I know it.
But that, it sure pushed away a lot of the hard.
She looked through the steam, through the window over the sink, out to where Zane plucked Audra off Darby's shoulders and settled her on his own.
Our boy's happy, Lee. I worried about him more than Britt. He shouldered so much. But he's happy.
And that girl, they fit.
Seeing they do, it settles something in me. I see Gabe out there throwing a ball for the dogs and Brody shaking his head and laughing. It all settles something in me.
We did good work, Em.
She glanced over with a smile.
Don't feel I'm done yet, but yeah, so far, some pretty damn good work.
A few hours later, Zane figured he'd rather have a good solid nap instead of hosting a party. He'd hauled tables, chairs, climbed up and down ladders, carted out huge coolers of lemonade, iced tea, galvanized tubs to fill with ice and beer and wine. Every time he thought he could have a beer break, grab a shower, someone, usually female, gave him another chore. Before he knew it, the band Emily insisted on arrived, started setting up equipment on the platform Lee and his boys had built.
Zane, you need to set out those new trash cans.
Busy filling colorful tubs with silly little prizes, Britt called out to him before he could sneak away.
With the liners. Brody, have you finished the signs?
Almost.
Brody, the only one of them possessing any semblance of artistic talent, sat working on a sign to indicate cans and bottles, others for the age grouping of the prizes. Zane set out the new trash cans, stowed extra bags in the bottom as Emily had taught him, opened two to line the cans. Determined to get that beer and shower before somebody found something else for him to do, he headed for the kitchen doors. Darby walked out. She wore one of those sundresses that made men grateful for hot, sunny days. He wasn't sure he'd known she owned a dress, much less a bold yellow one with skinny straps that showed off strong shoulders, a swirly skirt that floated around long, bare legs. She wore the pendant he'd given her, little dangles in her ears. And she'd fussed with her face, especially her eyes, so they looked long and sexy and red violet.
Well, look at you.
You'd better, as I spent some time getting on my summer picnic.
We should have one every week.
Then she capped it by handing him a cold beer. You're dismissed to get yourself ready.
Praise Jesus.
But he cupped the back of her neck first, drew her in for a kiss.
However long it took, so worth it. I need to take you to a fancy dinner in Asheville.
How about we take each other out?
Works for me.
Since he had to get by Emily and Britt, both putting food together and talking cheerfully about just that, he moved fast and quiet. It didn't take him long, a quick shower, a fresh shirt and jeans, a pair of black chucks. When he opened his terrace doors, he heard a guitar, heard his family, so stepped out for a minute. His younger cousin played, courtesy of one of the band, and Brody looked wildly happy as others took up instruments, picked up the tune. All three dogs, worn out from the afternoon, slept in the shade. Audra, in her red and white striped romper and blue hair ribbon, clapped at the music. Despite all his misgivings at the size and scope, he realized it all looked just fine. Just absolutely fine, with the red, white, and blue covered tables, the white awnings casting shade, the stacks of matching plates and napkins and cups. Too early for the lights, he thought, but that was going to look just fine, too. Darby's clever beanbag boards stood colorfully on the lawn, as did a bigger one for softball pitching designed for older kids. Music rang out, the sun shined, and his lady wore a yellow dress. Yeah, he decided. It all looked just fine. It felt fine, smelled fine, sounded fine when he manned the smoking grill and dozens of people swarmed his yard and house. Dogs, revived, wandered the crowd hoping for a handout. Beanbags slapped against painted plywood. He got hugs, back slaps, cheek kisses as he flipped burgers and dogs onto platters. He smelled fried chicken and hoped he wouldn't be too late to get himself some.
Good party.
Silas strolled over to him.
Dave's gonna take over for you in a minute.
He caught the look in his brother-in-law's eyes, turned.
I hereby pass the ceremonial flipper and tongs. Got it covered,
Dave told him, handed him a beer.
How about we take a little walk?
With a glass of cold sweet tea, as he considered himself still on duty, Silas led the way around the far side of the house.
What's up? Just heard from Lee. The Drapers got back, without Clint. They're claiming he went off with some friends on a fishing trip yesterday. The usual bullshit about how Tracy's a liar, probably banged herself up to make Clint look bad. What friends? That's the next thing. How the hell are they supposed to know? He's a grown man, can come and go as he pleases. We're figuring he got wind, tapped one of his drinking buddies to meet him, and he's hiding out.
Silas glanced back, making sure they were out of earshot.
Lee said they had long guns, no fishing gear. Claimed they stowed the gear back by the stream, which is bullshit, and had the shotguns for protection. They gave Lee plenty of grief, plenty of sass, but you know the chief, he handles it. We'll rotate out again, keep a lookout, but Clint's likely to stay low for a day or two. He can't hide forever. And Tracy's safe.
That, Zane thought, had to be good enough for now.
I'll draft up divorce papers tomorrow. Go in to see her. Let her look over them. Explain what she needs to do now that she's had some time. Hope to hell she doesn't back off again. Well, you ought to get yourself some food, son. Enjoy your own party. I'll do that. You keep me updated. The sooner Draper's locked up, the better.
She'd be afraid, Zane thought as they rounded the house again. Tracy would stay afraid until he was.
And fear, he knew, either made you fight back or give up. Still, he had to put it away for now. He had more than 100 people eating, talking, playing. He managed to snag a drumstick before he grazed the food tables, piling his plate.
"Try that tortellini salad."
Ashley sidled up beside him. "Nathan made it and you won't be sorry."
"Didn't know you were here."
He leaned down to kiss her cheek.
"Haven't been here long. And the minute we showed up, my parents confiscated my kids. This is an amazing house, Zane, and the grounds. Wow. I need to make friends with Darby."
"She makes them pretty easy, which is why I haven't seen her for a while."
"Over there, helping run the kids' games."
He glanced around as he scooped up some of the tortellini, watched Darby cheer on a little girl at the softball throw. Ashley tipped her head toward his shoulder.
"Not a woman in the world who doesn't want someone to look at her like you're looking at Darby. Does she know you're in love with her?"
"Yeah. Shows, huh?"
"Big time. I'm so happy for you, Zane. And now I'm going to find Nate and see if I can make him look at me just like that."
He squeezed himself into a place at a table beside Micah and Cassie, let the music and party noise wash over him while he ate.
"You actually know all these people?"
Micah asked him. As Zane looked around, he shrugged, shoveled in more tortellini. Ashley hadn't steered him wrong.
"It's more like Emily knows all these people. They keep coming, don't they?"
"Music's tight, food's good, who wouldn't?"
Cassie wagged her fork at him.
"If you do this again, you're going to have more. Word spreads, you know. People will suck up to you just to get the invite."
Then she leaned over, dropped her voice.
"I don't want to bring things down, but do you know if Tracy's okay? Her mom and my mom are friends, long time."
"She's with her mother, and in a safe place."
"Good enough. I'm just going to let my mom know."
She wiggled out, then patted Zane's shoulder before she walked off.
"Good deed."
"Guess I didn't tell you. I had a little altercation with Clint Draper a couple weeks back."
Zane paused, took a look at Micah.
"Define altercation." "Just a little contretemps. See, I'm walking down the street, gonna meet Cass at Grandy's for some eats. As I pass Clipper's bar, Draper comes out, gives me a full-on shoulder bump, right? So I just say like, 'Hey, share the road, man,' keep going. But he comes after me, gets all up my grill, dig? What he is? Shit-faced."
Since he hadn't tried it on his first round at the food, Micah paused to stab a fork into Zane's tortellini.
"Not even 7 in the p.m. and he's shit-faced, which is why he's coming out of Clippers and why he's looking for a fight. They kicked his ass out. And there you are, real handy. Oh, yeah. I just want to get some eats with my girl. Really don't want to fight a mean drunk, so I'm all, 'Hey, man, chill,' but he doesn't want to chill. He gives me a couple shoves. I figure I can outrun him, but shit, I just can't grow the feathers for that. I reckon I'm going to have to fight this drunk asshole, probably get my own ass kicked. But Cyrus came along. You remember Cyrus, right? Nice guy, was married to Emily for about 5 minutes back in the day."
"Yeah, I know him."
In fact, Zane picked him out of the crowd now simply by the red hair. Some white streaked through it.
"He comes up and he gets in Draper's grill, tells him to take off, and says if he gets in his truck to drive off, he's gonna call the law because he's skunk drunk. Draper walks off, shoots us the bird like that hurts our feelings. I want to buy Cy a drink, but he rain checks it because he's heading home. I figure that's that.
But it wasn't.
The next morning when I leave for a job, my tires are slashed, all freaking 4.
"Son of a bitch,"
Zane muttered.
"Did you tell Lee?"
"Yeah, but what's the point? Can't prove it was Draper. And better the tires get slashed than me, bro. I'm saying he'll for sure try something with you because like Cass said, good deed."
"Let him try."
"When he does, I've got your back. Keep me on speed dial, man, seriously. Now it goes in the box, lid on, because we've got partying to do. Like Cass said, the music's tight. I'm going to find her and show these people how to dance."
How not to was more like it, Zane thought.
Micah had never picked up anything approaching rhythm, but he sure as hell had a good time stomping around on the dance floor. Zane hoped he'd have a chance to do the same with Darby, but knowing his obligations, walked back to relieve Dave at the grill, and found Lee already had.
"Hey, get yourself a beer and a plate," Zane told him. "I've got this." "No, I need a little wind-down time first, and a little grilling for the masses does the job. We'll talk about the rest tomorrow."
Understanding, Zane backed off.
"When you're ready, send up a flare. Count on it. Go find your girl."
"I believe I will."
He walked through the crowd, stopping to talk here and there until he could get to Darby. She still manned the softball pitch. He spotted Roy, a bunch of teenagers, including Gabe. He heard the tail end of a challenge as Darby eyed Gabe and lightly tossed one of the balls in the air.
"If I do three in a row, you take over here."
"Over 16 distance," Gabe added. "Straight pitch, no underhand crap."
"Of course."
"Deal. You miss, you buy my lunch next sub Saturday."
"Done."
"Give me room here," she said, and in her pretty sundress, stepped back to the flag planted to indicate the over 16 line. She rolled her shoulders, tipped her head, took her stance. She wound up, sent the ball straight through the hole in the plywood and into the net behind. Zane's brows lifted as she said, "That's one." He already knew she had an arm, now could add she had damn good form. She sent the next through with a nice little whiz, then picked up a third. She batted her eyes at Gabe as he rolled his, and hit the sweet spot with the third. As she polished her nails on her arm, she smiled at Gabe.
"You're my relief. Oh, look, we've got another contender."
Even as Zane shook his head, she grabbed his hand, pulled him up to the line.
"I'm rusty," he claimed.
"What, you can't pitch three through the hole?"
"I'm looking for a dance, not a prize."
"A dance with me? That's your prize, slugger. Step right up."
She tossed him a softball. He preferred the size, the toughness of a baseball, but still it hit a chord with him, took him back. What the hell, he thought. Just a kid's game at a cookout. He zipped the first one through, felt that quick snap in the blood. He took another, let it fly so it thwacked against the net. Felt damn good. He put some speed on the third, winced as the force of it had the net toppling over.
"Sorry." "You ain't lost a hair, Zane," Roy said as Gabe trotted over to fix the net. "Not a single hair. Takes me back."
"Yeah, me too."
Darby ran a hand up his arm. "If you don't play for the Lakeview team next season, it's a crime against humanity."
"Crime against humanity is a little extreme."
"Baseball is humanity." Then she took his hand. "Let's dance, Walker."
Chapter 24. While Zane watched fireworks bang and bloom in the sky, Clint Draper decided to borrow his good pal Stu's pickup. Of course, with Stu passed out cold on the couch of his deaf bitch of a grandmother's basement, Clint couldn't exactly ask permission for the loan. He owed Stu, not only for giving him a place to stay, but for digging into his supply of oxy and homebrew to help take the edge off. And still, he was royally pissed. He'd teach Tracy a lesson, a good, hard lesson when she came crawling back, but meanwhile, he had others needing good, solid payback. His pappy had taught him, and those lessons had often come hard, that when somebody fucked with you, you fucked them back. And worse. He had the whole story now, knew who he needed to fuck back, and no point in waiting to start. In a couple days, he'd come out of hiding, and good old Stu would swear on his grandmother's Bible that Clint had been with him up in the hills, fishing and camping all the time. Nobody'd prove any different. He raided Stu's paint supply. When Stu worked, he put time in painting houses and always took what was left, claiming he'd used every drop. He had a closet piled with paint cans, old brushes and rollers, dented pans.
plenty for Clint's purpose. After carting a few cans to the pickup, tossing in a couple of brushes, Clint drove into town. He liked being drunk, believed when he downed a few, he thought clearer, saw clearer, got stronger, even smarter. He didn't care if he swerved onto the shoulder a few times. It just woke him up. When he veered toward Zane's office, the front left tire hit the curb, then bumped over it. At that time of night, Lakeview slept sound, so no one heard him whistling softly through his teeth as he got to work on the job at hand. Maybe some paint splashed on him when he opened a can at random, and some dribbled on the sidewalk as he walked across. He sloshed a brush around in what was billed as Moulin Rouge and slapped on his message. Because he wanted nice big letters, he had to open a second can. Blooming Orchid merged with Moulin Rouge. He'd quit school at 16, had a spotty attendance beforehand. Spelling hadn't been one of his strengths, but the meaning and the hate came across in the sloppy lettering and drips of clashing paint. Suck my dick, motherfucker. Stepping back, he studied his work with some pride and watched drips of paint slide down the pristine white of the building. Pleased, he used more of the orchid to scrawl, "Faggot," across the main door before heaving more paint on the window, dumping the rest on the porch. Too drunk and stupid to think of fingerprints, DNA, or basic common sense, he left the empty cans on the porch before unzipping and releasing his bladder on the doorstep. Besides, he considered good old Stew an ironclad alibi. He got back in the truck, smearing paint from his hands onto the steering wheel. He swerved and weaved his way out of town, navigated the road up to Darby's house. Bitch stuck her nose in his personal business? Bitch had to pay. He considered burning the place down, but he hadn't thought to get a can of gas. Next time, he vowed, and settled for defacing the house with a rainbow of cerulean blue, daffodil yellow, mountain mist, slopping ugly words over the wood. Cunt, whore, lesbo, bitch. He attempted to depict a gang rape with stick figures, and to his bleary eyes considered it fine art. Using his art as a visual aid, he masturbated, howling with satisfaction as he spattered cum over her welcome mat. Far from finished, he stumbled back to the truck. Now came the big guns. Literally. Hunched over the wheel, he drove toward Zane's and was far too drunk, much too focused on getting where he needed to go to notice the headlights keeping a steady quarter mile back in his rearview mirror. Even shit-faced, he remembered Zane's security. Everybody knew about it, especially since Bigelow got his ass kicked by that lesbo bitch. Which proved, in Clint's reasoning, Bigelow was a pussy, and too much of a pussy to have knocked his wife and kids around back in the day. Bunch of bullshit. One thing Clint Draper wasn't, for fuck's sake, was some pussy. He caught the headlights as he drove up the steep lane, pulled up a little better than halfway. Security my ass, he thought. He'd slip right through it, do what he came to do, and slip right out again. He got his rifle off the bench seat beside him. Paint time was over, and hiked into the woods. He had a nice, bright moon to guide him. If Clint knew one thing and knew it well, it was how to hunt and shoot and make the ammo count. He thrashed his way through underbrush, not worried about scaring off game, as what he wanted slept all nice and tidy inside the big house. He didn't figure on killing them, yet, but he'd sure as shit scare the piss right out of them.
Time to wake up, fuckers. You'll be eating floorboards and shitting your pants.
And maybe, just maybe, one of them would peek out a door, a window. If that happened, he'd put a bullet in them. Didn't matter a good goddamn which one.
Think you can take my wife from me? Turn that stupid bitch against me? I'm gonna fuck you up. Fuck you up real good.
He stumbled a time or two, scratched the hell out of his arms on brambles, and left plenty of fibers and bits of skin behind. He wished to Christ he'd thought to grab a beer from Stu's stash so he could slake his thirst. The warm, close night and all the work he'd done had him soaked in sweat. Even drunk, he could smell his own stink. No worries. He'd clean up at Stu's, grab that beer, maybe pop one of the old lady's Ambien. Sleep like a baby after he finished his good night's work. The moon cut through the trees, flooded over the house. Clint thought he couldn't ask for better. He saw himself slipping in and out of the shadows, silent as a ghost, even as he stumbled, thrashed, cracked twigs under his boots. But the shadow behind him moved quiet and bided its time. Clint took a stand, such as it was, at the edge of the trees, keeping back as he studied the house. Word was they had a big, fancy bedroom in the front with the big glass doors so that pussy Walker could stand out there on the deck lording it over the town. He shouldered the rifle, brought the doors into the crosshairs of his scope. He thought he might even get lucky, at least wing one of them. Either way, he thought, either way they wouldn't sleep easy after tonight. He fired twice, hit the glass, watched it shatter, then added a spray that flashed through the opening, hit the jams, the house. Grinning, heart thumping, he kept his aim, picturing the shot if that fucking Walker had the balls to come to the doors. The shadow moved in behind him. Clint knew an instant of shocking pain when the rock smashed his skull. His rifle hit the ground seconds before he did. Now the shadow smiled and thought, interesting. When an opportunity fell into your lap, only a fool ignored it. Cool-headed, he took the rifle, hauled Clint up and over his shoulder. He'd just take his opportunity off to a more private location. The shots ripped Zane out of sleep. Instinctively, he rolled over Darby, wrapped around her, kept rolling until they hit the floor.
Stay down,
he snapped as the dog sent up a howl.
What? Stay down. Somebody's shooting at the house.
No, maybe more fireworks.
Fireworks didn't do that.
He gestured at the broken glass, lifted his voice over the alarm as it began to shrill. Zod nuzzled in, lapped his tongue over faces, shoulders, hands, while Zane slithered over her, pawed his hand onto the nightstand for his phone, already signaling.
Yeah, I've got a problem. Somebody's outside shooting at my house. Call the damn cops, now. Stay down, he ordered Darby again. I want you to stay low and get into one of the spare rooms and hide. If you hear him break in, get out a window and keep going.
She lay on the floor, clutching the dog, every muscle trembling. Is that what you're going to do?
Just do it.
He stayed low, worked his way to the closet and inside. He came out with the Louisville Slugger Emily had given him for his 12th birthday, and saw that rather than getting to a hiding place, Darby had unplugged a bedside lamp, now held it much as he did the bat.
Two weapons are better than one, she began.
Quiet,
he shoved out a hand.
That's an engine starting up.
Moving fast, he darted to the broken doors before she could object, and caught just the quick flash of taillights.
Son of a bitch, I'm going after him.
He has a gun. Do you? Ignoring her, he grabbed pants, swore as he cut his foot on broken glass.
Stay here.
She only had a second to think. Like hell. When he ran from the room, she was right behind him.
Wait, think. I know you're mad. Me too, but there could be more than one of them with guns, for God's sake, Zane. They could be trying to lure you out just like this.
Though it galled her, she pulled out another weapon, the only one she believed would work on a furious male.
Please don't leave me here alone.
That stopped him.
Damn it, Darby, he can't outrun the Porsche. Hide in the pantry until the cops come.
It galled more than a little. But deciding her pride wasn't worth his life, she wrapped around him, clung.
Don't leave me alone.
All right. Okay.
So he stood with her in the upstairs hall, holding her.
It's all right, darling. I'm right here.
It's okay.
As relief spilled through her, she tightened her grip.
It had to be Clint Draper. Had to be. He won't get away, Zane.
No, he won't. Look, I'm not going anywhere. I want you to take the dog into the spare room there. Stay away from the windows. I'm just going down to wait for Lee.
We'll all go down. Jesus, you're bleeding.
Just stepped on some glass.
Bathroom, she ordered. We'll clean it up, then Lee or Silas or somebody will be here.
It gave her direction, something to focus on, so her hands stayed steady as she examined and cleaned the wound. Nastier than she liked. Not as bad as she'd feared.
He didn't try to break in.
He'd know about the security system. Everybody does. Probably too stupid to realize shooting the glass would spring the alarm.
Seconds before Zane heard the sirens, Zod began to howl again.
Here they come. Darling, you're naked.
Right. I'll take care of that and be right down.
He stood, favoring his injured foot.
You weren't afraid of being alone.
I was afraid, she said simply, and went to put some clothes on.
The dog raced downstairs, barking ferociously, and Zane followed. Still naked, Darby sat on the side of the bed, let the trembling come again. The broken glass, the bloody footprints, the tangle of sheets. And, she saw now, the holes bullets had torn into the wall just a few feet from where they'd slept.
What if he'd waited?
Waited until morning, until Zane stepped outside as he did every day. Until they'd sat together on the back patio over cereal and coffee.
They'd have been defenseless.
Or if he'd come sooner, using the booming fireworks as cover, shot while there were children running around the lawn, while everyone looked up at the sky. She wrapped her arms around her belly, rocked.
Pull it together, she told herself. Just pull yourself together. Ifs don't matter. It didn't happen. And they'll find him. They'll find him.
She walked back to the bathroom, splashed cold water on her face, and waited for the sudden wave of nausea to pass. By the time she'd pulled on clothes, Zane had started back up the steps.
Wanted to see if you were dressed. Lee needs to come up.
Sure.
He walked to her, laid a hand on her cheek.
You're really pale.
I'll be better after coffee. I'll go make some.
She looked down to the base of the steps where Lee waited.
It's really good to see you, Chief.
She continued down.
I didn't even hear the shots. The glass breaking? I woke up when Zane rolled me off the bed and we hit the floor.
Don't you worry now, honey. We're going to take care of this. That I can promise.
She nodded, walked to the kitchen to make coffee. She continued to sit, sipping slowly, when Lee and Zane came back down. Darby considered herself pretty adept at reading a room, and this one struck her as even more grim than it had been.
Oh God, he didn't shoot someone, did he?
With a shake of his head, Lee sat beside her.
Silas called in. Zane's office was vandalized again. Obscenities painted all over the front of the building. Paint's still wet. I've got a couple of officers going up to your place to check it out.
Okay. It might have been Draper who broke in before. Before Micah added security?
Could be. We're going to wait until daybreak to check and see if we can find where he was when he shot the doors. And we'll be checking on his place and his family before that.
All right.
Lee patted her hand.
You're a steady one, Darby.
Not altogether, but I believe in the system. It stood up for me when I needed it. I know you'll find him. Where's he going to go? And you'll put him away. Except.
Except?
Her gaze flicked to Zane. It'd be a wild coincidence if it wasn't Clint Draper with the timing. But Zane, you were a prosecutor. It's not impossible somebody you put away is out and wants some payback. And I can see by your face you've considered that.
Have to,
he agreed.
But it's Draper. Hitting my office, that's bullshit stuff. It fits him like a glove. And I'm betting anybody I prosecuted who had the brains to track me here probably knows how to spell motherfucker.
Lee rose to answer his phone, wandered off, wandered back when the call was complete.
Your place too, I'm sorry to say, Darby.
paint, crude words, and he left some DNA. We'll send that off. We've got Clint's on file already. Still, it takes time. Not as much for Prince, and we're going to find them, too.
I should go see.
No, you're not going to go see,
Lee said before Zane could.
It's a crime scene now, and you're going to steer clear of it. You need anything from there, we'll get it for you.
She looked Lee dead in the eyes. What kind of DNA?
You leave that to us.
He patted her hand.
I'd appreciate it if you'd both stay here for now. We're going to go have a conversation with the Drapers, and leave the bedroom as is. One of my men will be around to take pictures.
He bent down, brushed his lips over Darby's hair.
Nobody does this to my family. You can take that to the bank. I'll walk you out.
Darby stayed where she was, waited until Zane came back. What kind of DNA? He told you just now. I have a right to know.
My office? He pissed on the porch. Your place? He jacked off on your doormat.
She blew out a breath. Well, glad I didn't pay much for it.
I'd beat him bloody for that alone, and I say that as somebody who'd rather use words than fists. But for that, I'd beat him bloody. Darby,
Her shoulders went iron hard. Don't you dare say you're sorry. I picked her up on the side of the road. I brought her to you for help. We're in this together. Though her eyes stung with tears, her voice came fierce. Don't you dare say you're sorry to me for any part of this. She swiped the heels of her hands over the tears that escaped. Zod needs to go out. Since the dog all but danced at the door, Zane had to agree.
I'll take him. On a leash. Any possibility you could try to scramble up some eggs?
I can do that, but I can't guarantee how they'll turn out.
Can't be worse than mine.
He got the leash, clipped it on the delighted dog.
If you'd been alone at your place.
I just went through a bunch of ifs upstairs before I reminded myself ifs don't matter. You'd better work up a serious appetite if you're going to swallow down my eggs. In the wash of his security lights, Zane walked the dog and used the task as an excuse to aim toward where he figured the shooter had stood. He'd examined plenty of crime scenes in his past life, pored over countless police reports. And since he had, he kept Zod on a short leash. Wisely, he decided, when the dog sniffed the air and strained against it to move ahead.
Easy. We mess anything up, Lee won't have to kick my ass, I'll kick my own.
Moving carefully, he didn't have to follow Zod's nose for long. He could follow his own. Only more cautious now, he picked the dog up, tolerated the wiggles, the lapping tongue as he studied ground already disturbed. And the blood, still fresh.
Now what do you make of that?
He mumbled.
You just hold on.
Crouching, he got a firm grip on Zod's collar, dug his phone out of his pocket. He took a couple of shots, then frog walked back until he had enough distance to trust the leash again. He had to tug the dog away, then lead him off to where Zod could do what he had to do without compromising the scene. While the dog busied himself, Zane called Lee.
I found something, and before you jump, I didn't compromise the scene. I'm going to send you a couple pictures. You're going to want to get somebody over here. There had to be two of them, Lee, and one of them's bleeding.
He sent the pictures, thought it through while he walked Zod back for a very early breakfast. Darby stood by the stove, scowling at the skillet. First they were runny, and then in like seconds they're overdone. But I didn't burn them, so that's... She turned as she spoke, saw his face. What? What happened?
They're gone. Don't worry.
They? He nodded, bent to unclip the leash.
Zod sniffed out where they'd been. That's a good dog.
He gave the dog a rub, then poured his food in his bowl. Zod pounced on it like a lion pounces on a gazelle.
There's blood.
Blood? But...
I'm not an investigator, but I've worked with them. Simplest to my eye, two of them, and one bashed the other with a rock. You've got a bloody rock,
he continued as he got out plates.
You've got blood on the ground, crushed brush, short drag marks.
He shrugged.
They'll find more once the sun's up, but simplest is two. And one hauled the other out after he coshed him with a rock.
She stood watching him while he got out forks. You're pretty damn cool about it.
Well, now it's a mystery, so that's interesting. And we're about to have eggs and coffee.
He gave her arms a quick rub, much as he had the dog, with easy affection.
I'm still pissed, but now we've got something to figure out on top of it. Clint Draper's easy, almost certain to be him, and we'd know why. But darling, why did Clint hit somebody with a rock when he had a rifle? Or why did somebody hit him with one?
To protect us? And that doesn't make any sense, she admitted, as she scooped clumps of overdone eggs onto the plates. Why would they be in the woods in the middle of the night? Why would they haul the other away and not say anything?
See?
He shot a finger at her, sat to eat.
Got you thinking. Could be one of his pals, whoever he's using to hide out. They had a disagreement out there, one smacks the other.
She sampled eggs. Maybe more salt. Then it's, oh shit, we better get out of here, but that's just stupid. He tried more pepper.
We're talking, most likely, Clint Draper, darling. They don't come much more stupid.
Most likely, she echoed. It is most likely, but you'll still check on people you helped put away that might want to hurt you.
I've got files. I'll be looking, but odds are better Lee rounds Clint up pretty quick, and that DNA, the prints, slam that shut.
Because they weren't any worse than what he'd have scrambled up, he ate more eggs.
He's pissed, Lee.
I could see that for myself.
He'd do the job regardless, but being pissed, he'll round Clint Draper up pretty quick. Even so, what I'm going to tell you is...
There are other Drapers, she finished. And how's this for talking Southern? They won't take kindly to having their kin locked up.
Not bad for a Yankee, and no, they won't take kindly to it. So you're going to be careful. We're going to be careful,
he corrected before she could.
Plus, we've got ourselves this fierce guard dog.
Darby glanced over at Zod. He'd finished his breakfast and now lay on his back, stubby legs in the air, wide tongue lolling out of the side of his mouth. Smiling, she lifted the charm she wore around her neck. That makes two of us.
And we'll look out for each other.
He closed his hand over hers.
All three of us.
As if jabbed with a needle, Zod leaped up and, barking madly, raced toward the front of the house.
Cops coming back,
Zane said.
One thing's for certain, nobody's going to be able to sneak in here with the general on duty.
He rose, took his plate and hers to the sink.
I'll get the dishes, he told her. You call off our little and fierce.
She got up, breathed out. I love you, Walker. When he turned, smiled, she lifted her shoulders. It seemed like one of those just right times to say so.
Anytime's the right time. I love you right back.
Knowing it for pure truth, she went to call off the wildly barking dog and let in the police. Chapter 25. It took her back, having cops everywhere, the way they moved, the way they spoke. It pulled Darby back to the Bigelow attack, but oddly, that violent encounter blurred in her mind. Everything about it so fast, so hard. But the cops speak, the routine of the work, yanked her back to the morning she'd lost her mother. And with crystal clarity, the impossible shock and disbelief when the police came to the door with grim faces, terrible words rolled over and through her. Now, just like then, she'd had nothing to do, no action to take. Just waiting, waiting, waiting. She'd already given her statement, had nothing to add. For now, at least, Lee remained firm. She needed to stay put. She'd watched and read enough police procedurals to have a layman's idea of what was going on around her. They'd take official photos of the place Zane found at the edge of the woods, take samples of the blood, take the rock. Others would take photos of the bedroom, dig bullets out of the wall. Bullets, she thought again, as she wandered from kitchen to great room. Waiting, waiting, waiting. It all seemed unreal. She felt a twinge of embarrassment, ridiculous, when Emily came in. Then Emily walked straight to her, wrapped around her, and just held her. That twinge turned into a flood of relief. "They don't want me to go outside," she began. "The dog can't, so I'm supposed to stay in with him. Zane's out there, but it's his house, so..." "That's not altogether why." With a final squeeze, Emily stepped back. "He was a prosecutor. He knows these ropes. Come on, sweetie. I'll fix you some tea." Now she sighed. Enough with the self-pity, because wallowing in it was worse than doing nothing. "A Coke'll do it. Do you want anything?" "Not right now, thanks. I want to go to my place, see the damage." "You will," Emily assured her, "and when Lee clears it, we'll help you put it all to rights. Are you sure you couldn't get a little more sleep? The sun's barely up." "I'm totally awake. I had to call Roy, tell him what happened, because I'm not going to be able to work this morning. He'll get everything going." "Working for you steadied that boy. What are y'all working on now?" "You're trying to distract me. If you see it that easy, it's not working." Darby walked to the kitchen doors, closed tight, looked out at the grounds she'd designed, the waterfall she'd built. "I love it here. This house, what I see when I look outside. I love Zane, even though that part still gives me some nerves. And now twice in this house you've had to deal with violence." "Yeah." "Do you think some people are just fated? I know it sounds stupid. But are some just fated to have violence in their lives? Again and again. I don't believe that for a single New York minute. I don't want to believe it, but I've been pacing around here waiting, and I started thinking how my life did a 180 when I met my ex. Up until then, even considering my father took off, I had a good, solid childhood, a calm sort of life. My mother and I, school, the neighborhood, friends, the work, boys, pretty much smooth." On a long, expelled breath, she sat. "Then Trent. I married him too young, too fast, but screw it, Emily, others do. It either works or it doesn't. But it not only didn't work, it put me in the hospital." Emily caught Darby's face in her hands, tipped it side to side. "He put you there. It didn't. He'd have put me in again if he could have managed it. I'd never had anyone want to hurt me before that. Not that way. Then my mom, losing her the way I did. Coming here, fresh start, right? Then Bigelow, then finding Tracy, now this, it just keeps rolling." As if sensing the need, Zod laid his head in Darby's lap, looked at her with adoring eyes, and Emily sat beside them. "You're a smart, sensible woman, Darby. And most times, you've got a positive way about you. I can't blame you for having a hard time finding that positive this morning. But all that you're saying is just foolishness." "I don't know Trent," Emily continued, "but I know who he is because I dealt with Graham and my sister for years. They're mean, violent, ugly people who wear a mask so well, so easily. I grew up with Eliza. I interacted with Graham all that time, but I didn't see through the masks, not all the way. That wasn't fate. It was their horrible skill." "It is, isn't it?" Darby agreed. "It is a horrible skill. What happened to your mother happened because someone was selfish, careless, callous. And I hope to Christ they suffer terrible guilt every day for the rest of their life." She put an arm around Darby's shoulders, tucked her close. "In a terrible way, you were able to fight off Graham because of what happened with Trent. I find that so admirable, which is why I'm going to nag you at another time about giving that self-defense course. As for Tracy, it's your compassion and caring that helped save her. So you don't think otherwise, not for a second. And this," she sighed, "this morning is a stupid, violent, ugly man's attempt to show he has big balls, when in fact he's a small, dickless asshole. My Lee will see he's behind bars before sundown. You can count on it."
"Thanks. I mean it. I needed that."
"I think what you need is to get out of here and go to work. To take this sweet dog and go do something productive. So, I'm going to go talk to Lee about letting you go on and do that.
Where would you be working today? I had a little something to finish on High Point Road. That's how I came across Tracy. But I'll do that later. I sent the crew to the marsh place by the lake. All right, then. She gave Darby's knee a pat, then rose. But before Emily could head outside, they heard feet running down the front steps, and the sound of the door slamming shut. That's just it. Darby jumped up, got the leash. I'm not going to sit here another minute. With the dog thrilled with new activity, and Emily beside her, Darby marched outside in time to see two of the police cars speed off. They must have found him. Darby aimed toward Zane as he strode toward them. Or he's done something else, but...
Did they find him?
She called out. Zane kept coming.
Yeah, they found him. Clint Draper.
Something's wrong, Darby thought, and by the way Emily took her hand, she knew Emily saw it too. What is it? What happened?
They found him, floating in the lake. He's dead.
Christ. He scrubbed his hands over his face.
Gabe called it in.
Gabe? Oh my God, I need to-
No.
Zane shifted to stop Emily's forward leap.
You need to stay right here. Lee's got this. He's already talked to Gabe. They were working. Your crew, Darby. And from what I got, Hallie spotted the body. Roy jumped in to try to help. Too late for that, and he shouted out for somebody to call 911. Gabe called his dad.
He took Zod's leash.
Let's go sit down. We need to keep Zod clear of the crime scene. They're finished, or were, but we should keep him clear for now.
I need to talk to my boy, Emily insisted.
You go on and call him. Darby, how about if we put our heads together and make some sweet tea?
I'll do it. Emily waved them back. I'll get it started. Call Gabe. I need to call Brody, too, make sure he stays away from that part of the lake for now. With a nod, Zane nudged Darby to a chair on the patio, put the loop of the leash around his wrist when Zod plopped under the table to snooze.
Someone killed him, Darby began.
Or he fell in, or he committed suicide. That's for the cops and the ME to determine.
The blood over there, the rock, the drag marks.
You put it all together, Zane, and somebody killed him and dumped him in the lake. The questions are who and why.
They'll be talking to one of his friends. They found a truck shortly before Gabe called. It's got spilled paint, more cans of it, and blood. What it looks like is Stu Hubble came along with Clint on his spree. Then they got into something. Stu smacked him with the rock. Probably didn't mean to kill him, but did. Panicked. Dumped him. But things aren't always what they look like, and that doesn't explain why Stu would leave his truck sitting on the side of the lake road. We wait for the facts.
I need to talk to my crew.
I know.
He put a hand over hers.
Soon.
The shadow had become a man, and the man stood outside with an excellent view of the activity on the lake. He'd watched the Yahoo jump in, swim to the floater. It had given him a chuckle along with his morning coffee. He'd stood right there when the bumfuck cops had come across the truck he'd left where a blind moron could find it. He suspected one Stuart Hubble, according to the registration, was in for a bad day. But the floater, the too-late lifeguard, the whole scene of chaos really topped it off. Then the cops came screaming up. Man, what a show! This was the most fun he'd had in weeks. At least since he'd beaten that two-bit whore he'd picked up somewhere in Dickwad, Virginia. Best thing he'd done, he thought as he watched the show, had been following his gut. And following the asshole with the paint cans. Like fucking divine intervention, that's what it had been. He hoped killing the stupid bastard brought some trouble down on Walker. Maybe it would. Just maybe. Asshole vandalizes the shithead's office, then vandalized the whore bitchy's fucking. He had to stop there. Take a breath there. Unclench his fists. Then what does he do but sneak his drunk way right up to Walker's place. Pop a bunch of bullets through the glass. Dead idiot could think of it this way. If he hadn't done him the favor of bashing his brains in, he'd be spending a nice stretch in prison. Better off dead.
You're welcome,
Snickering, he slipped back inside for another coffee, a croissant, some local jelly. He brought it out on the porch, sat in the nice sturdy chair, and enjoyed his continental breakfast and show. When Emily brought out the tea, she rubbed Zane's shoulders. "I'm going to make a big pasta salad, get it chilling." "You don't have to do that," Darby began. "Lee's letting the crew go, and every one of them wants to come here, see the both of you. So I'm going to put together some food from what I can find in your poorly stocked pantry. I'll be raiding your kitchen garden while I'm at it." Zane reached back to squeeze her hand.
"Best pasta salad going. Is Gabe okay?"
"He seems to be. I want to see him for myself. I'm having Ralph go by and pick Brody up. I want both my boys where I can see them." "Then you'll have the lot of them to help you take down the rest of these canopies and haul in the rest of the extra tables and chairs." She looked around. "Hard to believe it was just yesterday all of us were out here celebrating." She lowered her head to kiss the top of Zane's. "Lee'll be a while yet. He's got a lot to deal with." "Zane," Darby reached for him when Emily went back inside. "Somebody has to tell Tracy."
"I want to do that, and in person. And as soon as I can," he added. "Will you be okay if I go into Asheville?"
"Of course I will. Do you want me to go with you?"
"You stay here, help settle your crew. I'm going to check with Lee, get his go-ahead. He has the tougher one. He'll have to notify the rest of the Drapers."
Which he would, but Stu Hubble had to come first. Lee found him snoring on the couch in his hovel, surrounded by empty beer bottles, a scatter of pills not yet consumed, ashtrays full of butts, tobacco and weed, and what looked like the remains of a meat lover's pizza along with a couple empty bags of Doritos. The good hard shove Lee gave him loosened an enormous fart, followed by a belch that smelled nearly as foul.
"Fuck off,"
Stu muttered, and attempted to roll over. This time Lee used his foot and helped Stu land on the floor.
"Some bitch, what the—"
He broke off when his bloodshot eyes focused on Lee.
"Who the hell let you in? This here's my place. You got no right. This here's your grandmother's place. Get your sorry stinking ass up, you're under arrest." "Am not. Didn't do nothing."
Considering, Lee narrowed his eyes.
"Where's Clint Draper?" "How the hell am I—"
Stu blinked, got slowly to his feet. He was a big guy with a big gut of hard fat. He had little eyes and bad teeth.
"Around? Maybe in the can? We've been hanging out. Was gonna go camping, but it got too hot, so we come back yesterday hung out. Ain't illegal. Defacing property is. And you were stupid enough to use your truck when you painted obscenities on Zane Walker's office, on Darby McCrae's house. Did no such thing. Been right here, you ask my grandma. Paint still in your truck, smeared all over the steering wheel."
But none, Lee noticed, on Stu, who obviously hadn't changed or showered in several days.
"Your paintbrushes, Stu. Your paint cans. Your truck. Nuh-uh. Lessen somebody must have stole it. You ask grandma. You ask Clint." "I asked your grandmother, who's deaf as a post and hasn't been down those steps for 6 months or more. I can't ask Clint Draper." "Why the hell not?" "Because we fished him out of the lake this morning, not a quarter mile from where we found your truck. He's dead."
"Is not."
Stu pushed around to see if any of the empty bottles had anything left.
"Back in the cans where he is. We've been hanging out right here because it's too hot for camping."
Lee pulled out his phone, brought up the crime scene photo of Clint Draper, eyes wide, face gray, and shoved it under Stu's nose. He yanked back the phone and himself when Stu bent over and puked on his own shoes. The stench, Lee thought, would wake a decomposed corpse.
"Did you have a falling out, Stu, up at Zane's place when you were shooting at the house?"
"It ain't Clint, no way. You're tricking me."
"We fished him out of the lake this morning. He's got a fist-sized hole in the back of his skull. I expect he was dead before you dumped him in the lake."
"I never did that,"
Stu's tree trunk legs wobbled until he thudded back on the couch.
I never done killed nobody in my life. Clint's a friend of mine. I never done killed nobody.
Get your sorry ass up or I'll haul you up. You're coming to the station and you better start telling the truth or I'll see you do some real time behind bars. You're up shit creek, Stu, and every lie takes you farther from shore.
I never done killed nobody. I swear on my life.
Tears began to leak.
Clint just came by yesterday. We never went camping. He just asked me to say so. He came by after he heard Tracy took off and you was looking for him. I was just helping out a bud, that's all it was. And anybody'd do the same.
You reckon anybody'd hide and lie for a man who beat his wife black and blue?
I don't know nothing about that. Clint, he was here, that's what I know. We had some beer and such, and I passed out, I guess. I don't know nothing about the paint or nothing. Jesus, he's dead? For real?
A moron, Lee thought. A lazy, bullying bastard. But an unlikely killer.
Get up. You're coming in, telling it all. If you don't want me to cuff you, get up. You got another pair of shoes?
Yeah.
Well, change them. I'm not having your puke in my house. Get a shirt and pants, too. I'm taking what you're wearing into evidence. They find any paint, any of Clint's blood on you, you're fucked good.
I was just covering for a bud like anybody would. I didn't do nothing. I never killed nobody.
Lee believed him, right down the line. But that didn't mean he wouldn't squeeze him first. If Stu knew anything, anything at all, he'd damn well squeeze it out drop by drop. By the time the crew arrived with Brody in tow, Emily had the pasta salad in the fridge and a second pitcher of tea steeping. Darby went straight to Roy.
I'm still wet,
he began, but she hugged him close. After a second's hesitation, he clamped hard around her.
Holy God, Miss Darby. Holy God. I've never seen... Never gonna stop seeing. When I got to him, grabbed on, he turned over. And his face...
Come on, sit down.
I got some dry clothes in the truck. Any place I can change out of these?
Sure. She waited while he got them, then led him in into the lower level, past Zane's home gym, the home theater, and into a full bath. Take a hot shower. Take your time, Darby told him, then gripped his hand. Roy, you're a hero.
I didn't do nothing.
You went in the lake, trying, hoping to save someone. And when you saw he was past saving, you still brought him in. You're a hero.
As his eyes went damp, he shook his head.
I never liked the son of a bitch. That's God's